Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Hey folks, stand by for action. We'll get started here in just 1 second. But first, you know, there are a lot of good podcasts out there, including this one, by the way. But there's only one by a former chair of the California Democratic Party, progressive radio and TV host, and member of the White House Press Corps. Of course, I'm talking about Bill Press, longtime host of the Bill Press Show, and now host of the Bill Press Pod, with his twice-a-week hard-hitting progressive take on all the evils of the Trump administration. This week, for example, Bill exposes Donald Trump's phony attacks on President Obama, takes on Bill Barr, the worst attorney general in history, and slams Trump for refusing to wear a mask and taking unproven drugs while over 100,000 Americans have died of coronavirus. Plus, you'll hear Bill interview leading progressives like Maxine Waters, Eric Swalwell, Jerry Brown, and Pete Buttigieg, plus his weekly roundtable with three of Washington's top political reporters. That's why I subscribe to the Bill Press Pod, and you should too. Just go to wherever you get your podcasts, search for the Bill Press Pod, and click on subscribe, then tell all your friends to do the same. Join me as a subscriber to the Bill Press Pod. And now, let the cartoons begin.
Broadcasting from Resistance Headquarters, relentlessly fighting back against the clown dictator and his regime of deplorables.
Never give up, never surrender.
This is the Bob Zeska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Let me tell you what it's like being a comedian while Trump is the president. The Trump presidency is an 18-wheeler full of monkeys and PCP. And it has crashed into a train full of diarrhea. And now there's diarrhea-covered monkeys on PCP running around. And everyone's watching it like, holy shit, look at this. And then you as a comedian walk up and go, hey, do you want to hear a joke I wrote about this? You're like, no, we're good, dude. I'm fine. I mean, Jesus, look at all this. You take a break. Oh, my God. Wow.
Bob Zeska.
Hi, Bob.
Hi, Bob.
Hi, Bob.
Hello.
The Bob Zeska Show.
The great Patton Oswalt, his latest special on Netflix. Watched it over the weekend. Amazing. From our nation's capital, it is Tuesday, May 26, 2020, and this is the Bob Zeska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com. Hi, my name is Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hi, day 1,224 of the Trump crisis, 161 days until the 2020 presidential election. And oh, look, sit right over there. It's my good friend from the Buzz Burbank News and Comment podcast. It's Buzz Burbank. Hi. Hi.
Hi, Bob. Hi, everybody. It's a little like waiting for your prom date to come downstairs, isn't it?
little bit. That's right.
Oh, I love the great Patton Oswalt. I would love his job because his primary job is a script doctor these days.
And
he does
an
amazing job of it.
Yes,
I would love to do that and to do the occasional sitcom appearance. Like
right,
he does.
Right. So funny.
But we're not Patton Oswalt. No. He's Bob. I'm Buzz. And we want to thank everyone who attended our Memorial Day pool party. Thank you.
God damn it. I have lots to say about this.
Oh, it was a little crowded, but it was a good time was had by all.
Yeah, it's true.
You you saw what happened, of course, in Lake of the Ozarks, Missouri over the holiday.
Mm-hmm.
All those people crowded in that pool. It was outrageous.
Yeah.
And you know, that entire terrible scene could have been avoided if the local businesses had just said no to Jason Bateman.
Right. That's now, the first thing I went to. I was like, oh, my God, it's the Ozarks. I saw that on TV.
You know, you got Mexican drug cartels. It's awful. A lot of people, of course, are very, very upset with Trump's golfing over the Memorial Day weekend. Mm-hmm. I am not surprised so many people are upset. He's got to work on that swing.
That's the first thing I said. I was like, man, his swing needs help.
So many things he's doing wrong.
Right.
The government's now sending out I saw this. I couldn't believe it. Mm. The government is now sending out stimulus payments in the form of debit cards, plastic debit cards instead of paper checks. And not only do the debit cards bear Trump's signature, they double as Mar-a-Lago room keys.
And you can squash the bed bugs with them, too. That's a bonus. There's,
yeah. I understand rooms are available. Both Trump and Pence, you may have heard, are planning on attending tomorrow's rocket launch, the SpaceX rocket, sending two men into space. So you get Trump and Pence going to see these two guys get launched into space. Now, is it wrong? Is it wrong for me to hope for a wacky situation comedy style mix-up?
Like the far out space nuts. I said lunch, not launch.
Goodbye. And sex is in the news this week. Couples are reporting less interest in sex during the pandemic.
Hmm.
Doctors say many Americans are forgetting to wear the cowboy hat with the bandana.
Oh, man.
It's an ensemble.
Lots of dummies out there. Lots and lots of them.
If you're going to Whole Foods Market, be sure to place a mask upon your face.
Please.
If you're going to Whole Foods Market, you're gonna find expensive produce there.
Don't be an idiot, damn it.
Really expensive.
All across the nation, dangerous relaxation, people in motion, it's red hat devotion.
Amen.
Rocky Mountain Mike, thank you.
Very nice.
Awesome.
Always well done.
Perfect way to kick off today's show because I'm a giant green rage monster today because of all of this bullshit.
You are justified, my friend. I believe I'm right there with you because I think we're both upset about the same thing.
Yes, absolutely. In fact, this should be my music. And maybe it be collectively our music. I wheeled this out on Thursday. It still works because I'm freaking out. And it's not like in a, oh, God, what's happening? No, I'm immensely pissed off just watching all of these morons. What they don't understand, Buzz, going back to the Ozarks, what they don't understand is not only are they all getting coronavirus, they're also they're also getting chlamydia. That's funny.
Like I saw a lot of people comment that they wouldn't want to be in that pool if there wasn't a pandemic.
Have you ever been in a swimming pool that was that packed with bodies, with disgusting, farting human bodies? I just kept thinking to myself.
I tried not to think of it that way, but I probably have been at some point in a pool that was fairly crowded. Here's my problem. I give people too much credit and assume that they're not doing anything they shouldn't be. So, right. And I intend to keep thinking of it that way.
My tolerance level right now, Buzz, for all the dumb fuckery has just reached an all-time low. Just watching everything that's been going on over the weekend, and to know, probably not just Trump supporters who are out there. These are just regular people.
Dumb people, yeah.
Dumb people. Just a lot of really dumb people. And I know the mantra is, stick it to the man. Screw the rules.
That's part of it.
Yeah, we're going to do whatever the hell we want. But then my question is, heaven forbid a Democrat were to step out onto a stage somewhere and just in passing go, hey, you know all those traffic laws? It's a good thing we have those traffic laws. And then suddenly you got red hats swerving all over the highway, chugging down 40s of malt liquor and, you know, refusing to turn on their headlights or to use their turn signals, driving slow. And wait a minute, that already happens, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, a little bit, but not to the degree of lawlessness that we've seen here. And maybe these aren't even technically violations of the law. It's just common sense and decency.
Yeah.
It is, I think, as Dr. Birx put it, a show of respect for others to wear a mask. And these folks, whether they be Trump supporters or just dumb shits, don't care to, you know, show respect to any other person. I see they interview some kid who's like, I don't know, I'm guessing he's 16, on the evening news, and it's like, oh, you know, if you're gonna catch it, you're gonna catch it, and if you don't, you don't. You know, it's like, really, and he speaks for us all, Bob. He really represents a lot of people who just don't see a problem. The depth of stupidity is stupefying. I'm as astounded as you are, and as angry as you are about it. I don't know what we can do about it other than to remain safely sheltered while they do whatever they're doing.
Yeah, I know.
Stupid! Yeah. You're so stupid!
This is me yelling at the TV all weekend.
And rightly so. Yeah. I think a lot of people were yelling at their phones as they scrolled through social media and saw the video of these outrages. And, you know, I just don't know how you're going to stop it unless all you can do, like I said, is stay safe and hope that when the second wave comes, not if, but when the second wave comes, then maybe they'll get the idea that what they did caused things to get worse. Mm-hmm. And then maybe they'll believe what they wouldn't believe when they were told.
Yeah, I mean, you raise a good point, Buzz, about the rules versus common sense, because it's really not about the stay-at-home orders. It's not about the rules necessarily. I mean, they're making it about that, but they're only using that, you know, the stick-it-to-the-man is stupidity. They're only using that as an excuse to act like idiots and not use common sense, not use basic rationality and logic by flooding out of these giant crowds of people. It's just absolutely remarkable to see all of this.
It's just like it was in 1918. people then, on the first day that the lockout ended, you know, they announced, okay, it's over, you can all go out. People went nuts, and they crowded into bars and clubs, and the next thing you know, here comes the second wave. Yeah. Gee, I wonder what will happen this time.
Man.
You just don't have to go far to know. In fact, we're already seeing evidence of resurgences, and so they're talking now. I was taken aback this morning. You know, we've talked about a first wave and a second wave, and we've heard about peaks before. Well, now I'm hearing about there be another peak in the first wave before the second wave comes.
Right.
Well, now, wait a minute. Isn't that three waves? Who are I? You know, I don't.
You're expecting people to do math. That's how a mistake
do we,
there.
How do we keep track if we can't tell a peak from a wave?
I don't know.
But I think we're going to keep seeing repeated peaks. And, you know, something you said that's terribly, terribly pessimistic and yet awfully true is this is never going to end.
Yeah, I know.
And I have come more to that conclusion. I don't know. You may have been using it in a different context before the pandemic. But with people flouting the rules and just common decency and common sense during this pandemic, if this keeps up, it will never end.
And that's what I keep thinking every time I see this, or one of the many things I'm thinking, which is that I feel like those of us who are doing the right thing, we're going to be forced to continue doing the right thing ad nauseum while these maniacs run outside and just completely screw around playing grab ass at the beaches and the boardwalks and the malls and wherever the hell they're going. And all the rest of us, all we can do is to sit here and wait and wait and wait and wait as the quarantining goes on and on and on, much longer than it should have because right. of this sort of moronic behavior, where it's just a little bit of patience. And I just feel like in the United States right now, we're going through what I've been referring to as an American nervous breakdown. There is a massive nervous breakdown happening in mm-hmm. our society right now. And this is only partially linked up with all of that, this demand that we just run out and get the virus and spread it to our family and friends. I mean, it is inevitable. The lack of judgment, the amazing amount of selfishness and
stupidity, yeah.
and stupidity and ignorance is just, I mean, I don't know what these people are thinking. And the only thing that I can come up with, I mean, we got several different observations when it comes to maybe why they're doing this. And part of it, sure. I think, Buzz, is, you know, those tailgate parties and everything that happen outside of a football stadium before a Sunday game.
That's what I hear.
Yeah. You don't go to those? You're not.
I've been. I've believe it or not, I have actually been.
Did you paint your face? Did you wear one of those big foam number one hands?
No, I didn't. Kept my shirt on. Did not paint a jersey number on my chest.
But that's kind of what this is, isn't it? This is kind of like, at least when it comes to the people who support Donald Trump, this is them. This is them supporting their team, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, very much so. Yeah. I will be talking again and in more detail this week in my news about how this is the battle line.
Yeah.
Between red hats and everybody else mm-hmm. seems to be the masks more than anything else.
Yeah.
Especially now with the stay at home orders mostly lifted. The battleground now is the mask. And in the minds of many, if not most, Republicans, if you wear a mask, you are a Democrat. And if you do not wear a mask, you support the president. It has become a political statement. That's
yes.
insane.
Yep.
That's insane. And yet that is where we are. Look, we have to acknowledge the 150 million people, give or take 10 million, who stayed home. Mm-hmm. During that 6 or 7 week period
yeah.
of most of the stay at home orders, people obeyed that. They did very well. The second wave is going to make it necessary to do that again, whether anybody wants to admit it or not. Trump yeah. says it won't happen. He's not going to allow it to happen. And yet some governors have some plans in place because it is the second or third waves are expected.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this is a chance to act. And so some governors have taken advantage of that, but not Trump, who refuses to allow. He won't stand for a second wave. He's not going to allow it. And he's certainly not going to allow the country to be shut down again. And further, can you ask even a moderate American to go back home at this point? Oh, many would comply, but would it be 150 million again, or would it be fewer?
Yeah.
Can you get the toothpaste back in the tube?
Right, right. I mean, again, I can't help but to go back to the notion that a lot of these people think that they can just intimidate the virus like they would terrorists or some other foreign attackers. Like, oh, we're being defiant in the face of these terrorists. They should know better than to attack us because we're just going to continue to be Americans. And then they all start coughing and they, you know, lung damage and flooding into the hospitals. I mean, in 2 weeks, 2 weeks from right now is just going to be a nightmare, isn't it?
If they were fighting for their country, would they not wear a helmet in the field?
Mm-hmm. The thing I was thinking about, too, along those exact same lines is, let's just say, for the sake of general argument, that about one out of every 10 people will end up getting some form of coronavirus by mm-hmm. gathering in these large groups, whether it's at the Ocean City Boardwalk or whether it's in the Ozarks or any point in between, the protests especially. So 1 in 10, that's about 10% of the people, if I'm doing the math correctly, would end up getting infected. Maybe a third of those people won't have any symptoms. Another third will have symptoms. And then maybe 1% of those people end up actually dying from coronavirus. Right. And so I'm wondering if all these people would be entirely comfortable if they knew that going into one of these crowded groups of people, whether any of the places that I mentioned, and in the process of doing that, 1 in 10 of them were under the risk of being shot by bullets. And then 1% of those people who get shot will actually die of their wounds. I'm wondering if they would still do it. I'm wondering if...
It would depend on whether they themselves were armed.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
In the case of Trump supporters, they might very well be.
I mean, again, it's a very calculable risk. I mean, it's not something that's obscure. We know how viruses act. Yeah, exactly right. I don't think they would do it. I don't think they would do it. But somehow in the face of a virus, they're like, ah, fuck it. Might as well. I mean, I don't know. I'm going to go swimming and it doesn't matter to them. And at the same time, I guess another metaphor could be, I mean, imagine going to a pool like that with like a suicide vest strapped to your chest, like a backpack filled with C4. And there's a 1 in 10 chance that C4 will explode. And then there's a chance that all the people around you, not only yourself, but the people around you will get hit by shrapnel. All right. And some of them will be wounded and some of them will die. I mean, would you do that anyway? I mean, would you go home with that suicide vest strapped to your chest and be around your family members, your children, your parents?
They don't think they're going to get it, especially among a lot of the young people who were interviewed at these pools and beaches. They just and this has always been true of teenagers and young adults. As you and I did at that age, they feel invincible. They feel indestructible. And it's only with education and good leadership from their parents and others that could, you know, that would have corrected that.
I just can't but help but to feel that we're losing our societal sanity. We're losing our ability to rationally confront issues without acting like a bunch of screeching maniacs. Every time a Democrat says, I mean, going back to my example of traffic laws, every time a Democrat says something, we got half the country running around trying to do the opposite just because the Democrat said that was the right thing to do.
But see, here's the thing. And if you really look at the numbers, it's not half the country. If you look at what the country believes.
Yeah.
And how the country is answering questions about how they behave, that's not the case. I think one of the most important lessons we have to learn right now is that a crowd is not a majority. A protest is not a majority. A demonstration is not a majority. Someone screaming at someone at a store without a mask that's not a majority.
Yeah.
You're seeing a lot of it. Those videos go viral when you see a Karen or a dick, behaving badly in public.
Yeah.
Those things go viral, and it just seems like, oh, my God, we've gone to hell. We've just gone to hell. Mm. There's no saving us now. And, you know, I know where you get your half the country thing, the 40 to 45% support for Trump that's allegedly out there.
Yeah.
I don't know that all of in fact, the surveys show that most Republicans think that we should be wearing masks. Most Republicans think the president should be wearing a mask. You have to understand that a lot of what we see does not represent reality. I don't think we're pretty messed up. We have a lot of sickness out there mentally, and a lot of ignorance, which is the basis, the source of all that of all that illness is really ignorance. Yeah, there's a lot of it. There's way too much of it. We've allowed it to grow to scary proportions, but it is far from a majority. In fact, if you look at poll numbers on how people feel about the various aspects of trying to control coronavirus, it's a very, in some cases, as little as 8% who object to what's going on. So don't let the loudness and the noise depress you or distract you from the reality. The reality is, if there's a disconnect somewhere, it's between the people and the president.
I wonder if the fact that we're seeing so much video all over social media exaggerates and highlights the problem more than
exactly.
It actually exists.
And progressives and liberals are as guilty as anybody of propagating. I'm not saying you shouldn't. I'm not saying that isn't something that we should all look at and share outrage in. Whether it's a police brutality video or a Karen video or whatever it might be, I think it's okay to share that, and I think it's okay to study those, to look at those, and to shake our heads at how far so many of us have fallen. But we must remember, when we see those videos, that is a very, very, very tiny minority of the American public.
Mm-hmm.
They just do not represent a voting bloc, and I've been in situations where I was with people who won arguments by being louder. than everyone else.
I know those kind of people.
That's not really how you win an argument, and it misrepresents the strength of your argument.
Well, I mean, in terms of the American nervous breakdown, as I've been calling it, I think what you're saying is exactly right. My concern is that as we see these videos in the Ozarks and wherever, that it's creating a new surge of the virus. And that is something that actually does grow. So what we're seeing right now is more of a shot in time. And then what we're going to see now is certainly a resurgence of all of this because of these dumb shits.
The question is, are they smart enough?
Yeah.
The people in that pool, are they smart enough when so many of them and their relatives get sick and or die? Are they smart enough to make the connection? It's like if a dog pees on your carpeting and 2 hours go by before you discover it and you try to you can't really punish him for it because he's long forgotten that incident. I mean, you know, you put your nose in it or whatever. Maybe I should have used a cat, for example, instead. if you try to punish a cat later, the cat will have no freaking idea what you're freaking out about. No. You know, there's got to be a connection. So my question is will all the cats in that pool figure out that they were responsible for the surge? We will be seeing, it should begin as soon as Friday and continue as a rolling, increasing surge over the following 4 weeks. So mark your calendars, because if you want to see what this really does, and I think we already know, judging from 1918, judging from other times, judging from some places that have already opened up, that had opened up prematurely. Some of the first places to open up have seen increases in cases since opening up. So sit back and watch what happens after what was for some people, for a minority of people, as crowded as it looked, a minority of people on Memorial Day weekend.
Well, I feel like that's all we can do, Buzz, is just sit back and watch it, because otherwise we can't warn them anymore. I mean, if you look at, for example, Ann Coulter over the last couple of days has been screaming at Donald Trump about the Jeff Sessions thing, which is a separate issue. But Ann Coulter is pissed off at Donald Trump. And I felt like, you know what? We tried to warn you people. But with some people, you can stand there and you can scream at them, don't stick your face in the grease fire. And the only way they're going to learn is to actually stick their face in the grease fire, get burned, and go, oh my God, that grease fire is blazingly hot. I've scalded my face off.
And even then, there's a percentage that'll do it again.
I mean,
but will they learn? We're about to find out. We're going to find out, and I think we already know the answer, the result of these Memorial Day gatherings. We're going to find out very soon after that whether or not the people who caused that spike get it.
And in fact, in Patton Oswalt's latest special, which played a clip at the top of the show, he was talking about how you can't get any sort of societal change out of talking to these people. It's like trying to convince the Manson family that Charles Manson, they're not going to suddenly see a light because you have devised some clever joke or some sort of clever counter argument to what they're saying. They need to get the virus and then start coughing up a lung before they will realize. And the sad fact of that is, that is not only them getting sick, it's all the people around them who, I've said this the last several weeks, maybe their wives or their husbands or their children or their parents aren't red hats. Maybe they're, you know, maybe apolitical, maybe they're Democrats, maybe they're libertarian. It doesn't matter. They're giving non-Trump supporters the disease they got while they were waving their Trump flag. And that
even more likely coworkers and you know, other people in a store, people they take off their mask and scream at, and spit on, that certainly could happen. Yeah. It's just, like I said, will they see and make the connection?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Because I don't know any other way. I don't know any other way to convince them. They've proven they will not listen to us or to science.
No. There's no way to convince them. I mean, there's no way to convince them. There's no way to convince anyone, for that matter, who are deliberately violating the stay-at-home orders because of some whatever, some Facebook post that they saw or some notion they had in their head about how pandemics operate. And it's all wrong. But I mean, we could say that over and over again, Buzz, and they're not going to listen. They have to stick their face in the Chernobyl reactor core before they learn.
So what we have is like the worst science fiction horror movie you've ever seen, where the populace just doesn't believe that the invaders are here.
Right. Yes, exactly. Don't go upstairs. Don't walk up those stairs. The killer is upstairs. I'm going to walk upstairs. Here I go.
You know, where people in the theater scream, don't go in the house.
Yes. I mean, the number of new
people go anyway.
Right. And the number of new cases keeps rising in 18 different states, including Georgia, Arkansas, California, and Alabama. In 22 states, the numbers appear to be holding steady. So that's 40 states where the rate of infection has increased or held steady.
Held steady.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's
right. Yeah. Again, numbers. I mean, it's good that we know those numbers, but it will mean nothing until we can get people to play right. And I don't know what that will take. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know whether a second wave will accomplish that.
I mean, again, no amount of shaming. We can talk about all the facts. We can talk about the history. We can talk about everything that would contravene whatever they're doing. But they're la, 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 not listening. You're a libtard. I mean, that's basically what we're going to hear back. So it's futility.
The only other thing, one thing that I think will happen before this pandemic is over, in fact, I'm virtually positive of it, is what will happen before this pandemic is over is a presidential election. Yeah. And very likely, if things go as they should, a presidential inauguration as the pandemic continues beyond that date as well.
Fingers crossed.
I think having different people in charge will also make a difference. It's really interesting. I spend a lot of time thinking about the mask controversy because that's the that is the battleground. That is where this health crisis has been turned into a political battle, and that's where the fight is being fought. And there's been talk of masks should be mandated. They should be required. And of course, you have the conservative view. Oh no, that's the government can't tell you to cover your face. and that's unconstitutional. That's just where we are. And I think it's important to know that.
Yeah. Well, make sure to use your cell phones while you're careening down the beltway at 70 miles an hour. Make sure no hands free. Just start talking. Don't even look. Use the video feature on your phone. You do FaceTime while driving down the highway on your phone, because God damn it, if the state laws and the national federal laws keep you from doing that, my God, they're trampling on your civil liberties.
I don't know why I didn't think of this as a caption for the Lake of the Ozarks pool picture, and that is, what could possibly go wrong?
Right. Except for, you know, coronavirus, HPV, whatever swims around in that goddamn fetid, disgusting water. I mean, at the very least, Buzz, as I'm looking at that pool party in the Ozarks, I'm thinking, wow, all of those guys wet farting in that pool. And it just I immediately went to that. I mean, there are copious numbers of people. I mean, chlorine can only do so much to kill the griblies in that goddamn water. All right. Now more than ever, speaking of griblies, we're all thinking about our hygiene. We're washing our hands. We're sneezing into our arms. But what about your cell phone? It's a huge carrier of germs. Phones are a vector for disease, and we rarely ever clean them. I know I seldom clean mine. We're constantly touching our phones with our hands and even pressing them to our faces. Gross. It's time to take cleaning your phone seriously. The Clean Phone Pro Sanitizer uses medically proven UV light technology to kill 99.99% of all bacteria that comes in contact with your phone. Better than wipes and safe for your device, the Clean Phone Pro gets every inch of your phone clean with 9 high-power UVC lights. There's a dedicated wireless charging pad on top of the chamber. You can be sanitizing your other items while wirelessly charging your phone, or just use the Clean Phone Pro as your go-to charging station any damn time. A fully removable top means easier fit for more items and larger items. Go to thecleanphone.com today. Get one for just $89 and free shipping when you use the code SEXYLIBERAL. If you're serious about hygiene, it's time to get serious about cleaning your phone. Go to thecleanphone.com and keep your phone truly clean. Remember to use the code SEXYLIBERAL for 2-day free shipping, and it's going to ship immediately. That's thecleanphone.com, thecleanphone.com.
Well, the unsolicited testimonials for Literati, the book club for kids, rolls in. JP says, my surrogate grandson Jack received his Literati books yesterday. He was so surprised and excited. This is a perfect gift for kids who are quarantined. He decided he would keep these two. He didn't want to read about Laura Ingalls Wilder. She's a girl. That's the great thing about Literati. You can keep the ones you want, send back the ones you don't.
Every Literati book contains 5 books based on a theme. Right, your nephews have them. My ex's newborn
they
loves
love
it.
Them. And they have stickers so they can keep them straight so they don't get confused about whose books are whose.
OMG. Keep your favorites, send the rest back for free. For a limited time, go to literati.com/Stephanie. 25% off your first 2 subscriptions. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go to literati, literati.com/Stephanie. 25% off your first 2 subscriptions. America's number 1 book club for kids, Literati. It is essential in quarantine. That is literati.com/Stephanie. Terms and conditions apply.
The Bob Seska Show.
And so the reel turns again.
Who does it catch or cast aside?
How many people who never fell in love?
So many trying to make it through the night. But we were so perfect, you and me.
Lost in each other's arms, so hard we tried.
Nothing to lose, nothing to hide. The mask is made, we wear it well.
I'm so tempted to keep playing this song. This is Linda Kay.
I get it.
Linda Kay Parker and Ian Lemmy Kilmister from Motorhead. The late Lemmy.
Wow.
A song called The Mask. You know, Linda performed on the Amazon series Goliath. 3 different songs on that show. And I was looking at her website. By the way, Linda's a friend of Jody Hamilton. That's how we were introduced here. And one fan on Linda's website said, Linda Kay's voice is like maple syrup and black velvet, just gorgeous. And that fan's name was Fred Willard. I'm not making that up. That's absolutely 100% true. Yep.
How sweet. How sweet.
And while we're
a sweet man.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, I am not a big fan of country music generally. This is a beautiful, beautiful song with a haunting melody. It's magically performed. Really, really pretty. Very nice.
Yeah, in fact, Billy Bob Thornton said, I'm not making these quotes up. These are real. Billy Bob Thornton said about Linda's music, she's like Dusty Springfield, Patsy Cline, and Roy Orbison all rolled up into one. And you know what? I totally agree. So
she's the real deal. This song is the real deal and should be a hit, in my opinion.
Yeah, you can hear it again on the Indie Music Countdown coming up this weekend. Meanwhile, submit your music at bobseska.com/music. And don't forget to support all of our indie bands here on the show. Okay, well,
here's the deal is I was raised on country music along the lines of these tears have washed I love you from the blackboard of my heart. That was my introduction to country music, and well, you know the rest.
My very first paid radio job, I should say, was at a country music station. That
I could never do it.
I still have nightmares about it. Not necessarily because of the music, but just because of the radio station itself.
I think I only got 1 or 2 job offers from country stations, and I just immediately ruled them out. I knew I wouldn't make it. I couldn't survive it.
Yeah.
I didn't think I could handle it.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. But that was a gorgeous song.
Oh, lots of exceptions. Lots of wonderful, wonderful country songs.
That
we played
play
the best ones here. Okay, so we're talking about all the goddamn idiots.
Stupid! Idiots everywhere.
Stupid! And I've been thinking for a long time now, throughout this entire quarantine, that those old Highlights for Children cartoons, the Goofus and Gallon cartoons, are so appropriate. I mean, we're seeing Goofus loading himself into swimming pools and boardwalks and beaches all over the place and just doing the wrong, running with scissors pointing up. If you will, happening all over the place.
I noticed your fascination with this, and I also noticed that other people picked up on it, and I saw it elsewhere on social media, other people talking about Goofus and Gallant, or Goofus and Gallant, if you prefer, in this climate. Yeah. And it got me to thinking about, well, how did this all begin? So I actually looked into the history of this, believe it or not, and the Goofus and Gallant first appeared in 1940.
Wow.
In that magazine. They've been around that long. Mm-hmm. And then in about 1953, a television program called Romper Room premiered, and it had a segment in it called Mr. Doobie and Mr. Don't Be.
Ah, yes.
And it actually started as Doobie and Don't Be, and then sort of became Mr. Doobie. And then all of that disappeared. Innocence was lost in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. And then in the 90s, this whole idea resurged as a really bad morning radio bit.
wasn't your radio name for a while Mr. Doobie?
Yeah, but that was spelled differently.
That's right.
But so anyway, it was a radio bit. We've, at least for this one time, probably won't be a regular feature, but for this one time, we wanted to revive the old radio bit, Mr. Do and Mr. Don't.
Yes, great idea.
And today, it's Mr. Do and Mr. Don't deal with a pandemic.
Perfect.
Goes a little something like this.
Mr. Do always wears a mask in public.
Mr. Don't always wears a mask at Klan rallies.
Mr. Do always coughs into the pit of his elbow.
Mr. Don't always coughs on suspected Democrats.
Mr. Do safely locks up his rifle to avoid an accidental tragedy.
Mr. Don't carries his rifle into the state capitol to demand a haircut.
Mr. Do uses alcohol to sterilize surfaces.
Mr. Don't abuses alcohol. You get the idea.
Yeah, I think I'm getting it. Mr. Do avoids crowds, hoping to reduce his chance of getting infected.
Mr. Don't is drawn to crowds, hoping to increase his chance of getting laid. And there it is.
There you go.
Mr. Do and Mr. Don't. And now you know why all of that was retired.
You have to emphasize these things these days, apparently, because we've got a bunch of children claiming to be chronological adults in this country who just cannot listen. They cannot understand the very
basic. Or pay attention.
Yeah, you know, if you go into that crowd, there's a one in 10 chance you're going to get a terrible, terrible virus, and then you're going to give it to everyone around you, and then they're going to give it to people, and those people are going to give it to other people, and then it's going to spread all around. I mean, it's a waste of time and energy to continue to lecture these people, but you feel like you need to continue doing it, don't you, Buzz? Because
right now, we just have to strong arm them and outnumber them, or not in that order. We have to outnumber them and then strong arm them if necessary to try to get this under control. And as I've said before, the answer, of course, is education. And we have to start yesterday, because it will take a couple of generations or so for us to notice and appreciate the effects of that education, particularly civics and citizenship.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, again, we have the World Health Organization, which is now warning of a second peak before the winter surge. As you were saying before, all these new surges are going to pop up now. Because
it's a peak and a wave and a wave and a peak and a peak and a wave and a wave and a peak.
That's exactly how it's going to work. And the World Health Organization, while trying to warn people, is being attacked by Donald Trump and being, stripping away any credibility that these experts have, which should be, I mean, all the credibility for the most part. I mean, at the same time, though, you've got countless, I don't know how many thousands, if not millions of people who are going, yeah, the World Health Organization are a bunch of liars. I mean, they're all part of the deep state trying to humiliate Donald Trump. I mean, it's amazing. I go back to this constant refrain of the only person who's telling the truth is the guy who's told 20,000 lies since Inauguration Day. That's the only guy in the entire world who's legitimately telling the truth.
The rest of the nations of the world are wrong, and he's right. The Democrats are wrong, and he's right. And as some people have pointed out on social media, he thinks that the Democrats have teamed up with all the nations of the world and the media against him? So, I mean, doesn't that tell you something if the majority of everyone wants this guy gone and discredited? And that's the whole thing. WHO makes Trump look bad. And so he does what a bully does when cornered. he lashes out like this.
We have surpassed 100,000 deaths now in the United States on Trump's watch. 1,712,626 cases now in the United States. And Donald Trump right now is trying to do exactly what I said he would do back in March. On March 31st, I wrote this in the pages of Salon. I said, if around 150,000 Americans die painful and lonely deaths due in part to Trump's colossally irresponsible minimizing of the pandemic for weeks on end, then Trump will get to declare victory and insist that the fake news should congratulate him for it. And just today, 3 hours ago, he wrote this on Twitter. He said, for all of the political hacks out there, if I hadn't done my job well and early, we would have lost 1.5 to 2 million people, as opposed to the 100,000 plus that looks like will be the number. That's 15 to 20 times more than we will lose. I shut down entry from China very early, which is the least he could do without doing nothing. But here we are, 100,000 people dead, coming up on 150,000.
So his campaign platform is vote for me because only 150,000 people died.
I mean, it's remarkable. The party of personal responsibility, Donald Trump claiming victory with 100,000 people, 100,000 Americans dead on his watch who didn't need to die. Yeah.
Trump, he didn't kill more than 100,000 people.
I mean, you know, and he's not the first one to do this. I mean, George W. Bush, for 8 years, along with Dick Cheney, along with everyone around them, said that George W. Bush kept us safe, you know, except for that one time. But we're not going to count the 3,000 dead on 9/11, which seems like now a walk in the park compared to 100,000 dead
under
Donald Trump. Tragically. So, yes, exactly. But I mean, this is the party of personal responsibility. They refuse to take responsibility. But at the same time, 4 people die in a terrorist attack on the consulate in Benghazi. And we have to impeach the president over that. 4.
When we get to 100,000 this week, as we certainly will, that will be the equivalent of 25,000 Benghazis.
It's staggering. It's staggering, the lack of accountability in this country. And to know, I mean, the good news is, I should say, I was about to say, oh, yes, and he's still so popular. But you know what? Right now, at least according to the RCP average of Donald Trump's approval rating, he is at now -9.9, basically -10. That's 44% approval, 53% disapproval. The latest Rasmussen has him at -11. That's Donald Trump's favorite pollster. 44% approval, according to Rasmussen. 44% approval, according to Fox News. 42% approval, according to Reuters Ipsos. And what do we got? 41% approval, according to Politico Morning Consult. So this, if you look at the graph of it, the numbers for approval and disapproval are going in the direction they ought to be going. Everything's moving the right way.
I don't know how delighted you'll be to hear me say this, but here's everybody's attention should be focused here.
Okay.
The place where everybody's attention should be focused here is on senior citizens.
Yeah.
Because this is the whole this is the thing. The loss of support that Trump is seeing, it's not great. You know, both sides are thoroughly entrenched.
Yeah.
And there's going to be very, very little give or take on either side. It's mostly folks in the middle. However, nobody votes like seniors vote. No demographic or age group turns out or participates to the level that senior citizens do. And they overwhelmingly supported Trump in 2016. Not so much now. they are not only the target group for this virus, but they're the ones who've sat in front of the TV every day and watched those 2-hour press briefings from Trump and have seen how he performs as a leader or fails to perform. The numbers show, the breakdowns of the polls show, this is where Trump is losing his support, is among the elders. Not only are 65 and older voters fading on Trump rapidly, but now we're seeing fade as well in the over 55 group.
Yeah.
So it's working its way downward. And of course, young people don't support him. His Republican support is very weak. Nearly one in four Republicans by one poll would say they would prefer the party had a different nominee for 2020.
Wow.
one in four. If it, now, look, Trump has the 88% approval rating. Sure, of course he does, because the Republicans always rally around their president, their politician, their guy.
Yeah.
But when you ask him, would you rather have somebody else, 25%, 23% of them actually say, yes, we would. We would like to have somebody else, which is amazing. He's losing Republican women in particular, Republican younger voters falling away. It's mostly white Republican men. Minority Republicans, as few that they may be, are falling away from Trump. So it's just down to white Republican men. But what we have to focus on, since everybody knows, everybody listening to us knows that both sides are thoroughly entrenched. There's not going to be much movement.
Yeah.
So it's going to be these little things like the elder vote, which is not a little thing, and other factors that make the difference. I'm seeing Trump up over Biden by 11 points, by 8 points. 8 is good. 11 is better. 14 would be superb. And we can get there by November. It's where 14 is not that far from 11. And when you get into that territory, it's a freaking landslide, which is what we need. We need that statement, as you've said all along, a strong statement rebuking Trump, not only rejecting him, but saying, no, patooey, we don't want anything like that again.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And in fact, I was very relieved to see that James Carville, who was on Stuttering John's podcast, John Melendez's podcast.
Skeletor.
Yes. Skeletor. Gollum said on John Melendez's podcast that we not only, and I was so, I felt so gratified to hear this, actually spoken out loud by someone who was in the upper echelons of the Democratic Party. I was so relieved to hear that James Carville thinks that we not only have to defeat Trump, but we also have to defeat Trumpism. I mean, he literally said that.
Yes.
He literally said the thing that I have been screaming about for at least the past couple of years, that this election has to be not only about Donald Trump himself, but it has to be a referendum on the entirety of Trumpism. And the only way to annihilate it, or to at least damage it enough to push it back into the margins, is to humiliate Donald Trump in the election, to overwhelm the vote.
The way to beat Trump is to beat him by 4 points.
Yeah.
The way to defeat Trumpism is to beat him by 12.
That's right. I mean, traditionally red states have to go blue. I mean, that's the way it has to work out. I'm talking about some of the ones that are in the sort of in the gray zone there, sort of in the swing state zone, Arizona, Georgia, perhaps, certainly North Carolina, some of these other traditionally red states. I mean, just like in 2008, where Barack Obama ended up winning a state like Indiana, which Bill Clinton didn't even win Indiana.
For all the abuse that Florida takes, Trump won Florida in 2016 by 1%.
Yeah.
Now, you know how many seniors live in Florida. If he loses those seniors, there goes that 1% lead. Yep. It only takes that a 2% swing in the vote in Florida, and I believe we're already there, to defeat Trump in the key state of Florida.
Yeah.
We never want to get cocky, but this is... this is looking pretty encouraging. I think, as I said last week, we could win as many as 6 Senate seats, and we only need 3. Mm-hmm. So this could be very exciting if we don't blow it as voters, and if our then-elected officials don't blow it in leadership.
Yeah, again, if I see one goddamn balloon, I mean, we haven't won this yet, but I'm looking at the Florida numbers right now, and according to the RCP average in Florida, Biden is up 3.3% over Donald Trump. Now, margin of error, 3. So Joe Biden is just outside, by a hair, just outside the margin of error for Florida.
Think,
yeah,
I still think with each ticking minute, with each passing day, that Trump's chances diminish. And he's largely responsible for that. He's running the wrong kind of campaign. I mean, he's not even campaigning correctly. If he wanted to win, this the way he's doing it is not going to work. He's headed in the wrong direction.
I mean, if anything works against him, I get the sense that it's going to be overconfidence. I think he feels like, I did this in 2016 and I can do it again. And that's it.
Ding, ding, ding.
And then
you hit it. You said it was 2016.
Yeah.
It's all about that. He thinks the way to win this time in 2020 is the way he won in 2016.
That's right.
Oh, my gosh. So many things are different now than they were in 2016. First of all, he doesn't have the widely disliked Hillary Clinton as an opponent.
That's right.
He has the only moderately disliked Joe Biden, who he can't. And I think it's going to be more difficult for him to make Biden out to be a villain than it was for Hillary. Also, there's a pandemic on that he's screwing up royally. And I think all of these things, jerk face, go ahead and keep attacking Biden. President
Jerkface, right. Be respectful.
Keep attacking Biden. Nobody's buying it. Nobody's listening. Yeah. And what they see is massive death and massive unemployment.
And in the meantime, and this is one of my favorite stories coming out now, and I think it's just still kind of at the rumor place right now. I think there's some independent verification, but apparently Brad Parscale is just stealing from Trump left and right. Brad Parscale is his campaign manager over in the Death Star in Roslyn, is apparently just buying Ferraris and buying houses and just bilking Donald Trump.
Raises the question, is there no honor among thieves?
I guess not. Holy shit. I wonder how long he's going to last, and I wonder who will replace him, because I don't think Brad Parscale is going to make it all the way to election day. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. It depends on how scared Trump is.
Yeah.
Because Trump knows how important Brad Parscale is. Trump may be willing to let Brad Parscale do a little thievery, because he'd rather go into this election with Brad Parscale than without him.
But will other donors be as happy with Brad Parscale as Trump? You know what I mean?
Financially, Trump's going to be fine either way. I really think it's this election, I think, is maybe less about dollars than any election we've seen in generations.
Yeah. I mean, I get the feeling that Joe Biden really isn't going to have to do a lot of campaigning. I mean, right. and that's
the less the better.
Okay with me. Totally okay with me. The less he talks, because I swear to God, I mean, didn't I say it back, 2 years ago, I was like, get ready, because if it's Joe Biden, we're all going to be sitting here going, well, what Joe Biden meant to say was ... And here we are. I mean, I feel like Joe Biden has got to carve down the scope of what he can talk about in these live appearances. He needs to remain good guy Joe Biden. He needs to stay above all of this stuff.
Yeah. Brilliant. That's absolutely the way to do it. If this becomes a pissing match.
Yeah.
Between us and them, in terms of the dumb things Biden said versus the dumb things Trump said, the other side will drown.
Mm-hmm. And that's the problem. I mean, Joe Biden has to be good guy Joe Biden. Joe Biden has to be disciplined, super disciplined with everything that comes out of his mouth. Everything that comes out has to be on some level, not necessarily scripted, but kind of pre-screened, so to speak. And then whoever he nominates as his vice presidential running mate can be the attack dog. And they can do the things where they're calling Donald Trump various nicknames. Joe Biden, the reason Joe Biden has the support that he has, especially among older voters, is because Joe Biden seems like a good guy, seems like a nice guy. And all he needs to do is continue to cultivate that. And he can walk away with this thing, fingers crossed. So, by the way, I also have some breaking news. I don't want to forget. I've got some breaking news about Stephen Miller and his wife, Katie Miller. Did you have something you wanted to add here before we break? Because I want to get to this breaking news before.
No, I'm astounded by two things. Okay. One, that you think people poop in the pool. and two, in spite of that, you didn't get my urine joke.
Did it go right past
you will.
Me?
Yeah, you will. But you'll enjoy it on replay.
I will. So. I'll wait for that. Yes, I look forward to hearing back the show now that I can hear your urine joke.
But I want to hear about Stephen Miller and his wife.
Okay, well, it's just as far as my pooping in the pool thing goes, I don't know that they're deliberately pooping in the pool, but as we know, farts can sometimes be a little bit more than a fart. I'm just saying, that's just my general life observation.
It's true.
All right.
I assume that other people like myself have the good sense to get out of the pool first.
Wow, we're talking about the Ozarks here, Buzz. All right, on that note, we'll take a last break. We'll wrap up the show. Oh, breaking news right after this.
Yes.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius Bath and Body Products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius. Doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
That's me hitting the button and nothing's playing. Hang on.
Can we leave this in, please?
All right, music. Where's the music?
Bob Seska.
This is recording artist Zanny, Z-A-N-N-Y, and a song called Spent, brand new single from Zanny. Zanny's actually a student at Berklee College of Music.
Cool.
And I just received this submission today, in fact, and I said, oh my God.
Wow.
Get Zanny to the front of the line. We got to play her music today. And so that's
it's
exactly
fresh out of the studio. Yes. So let me get this straight. You're only playing the pretty songs today.
That's right. As we're talking about farts and pools, you got to make sure to balance it out with some nice things.
And listen, I have to say this to you and the people listening. I know that I am incorrigible in some ways, but I can't tell you how happy I am to be here, and I appreciate your patience with it, because I just have the most fun here.
Yes, it is so much fun to be on the show with you, Buzz. Seriously, I mean, it's been, 30 years in the making almost. And
worth the wait.
Yeah. Oh, my God. But here's some breaking news for you.
Yes, please.
This is kind of, this is both funny and disturbing. I think it's more disturbing than funny, but you be the judge. Okay. According to John Roberts at Fox News Channel,
sorry,
Katie
already
Miller,
laughing. Yeah.
Katie Miller, who's the vice president's press secretary, has announced that she is both back to work after a bout of coronavirus.
Okay,
and she is pregnant. Which means that Stephen Miller is breeding. Stephen Miller making, and his wife Katie Miller are about to have a baby. Oh my God!
That, Bob, they're about to have a virus baby.
A virus baby.
Virus baby.
Holy shit. That is one of the most terrifying news stories I've ever seen. That Stephen Miller is going to be a dad. He's going to be a dad. That is... That is horrifying on so many levels.
Even Hitler had a dad.
I'm expecting Ruth Gordon to pop up at some point and go, of all the people in the world, he chose you to be his only begotten son. Ruth Gordon. Okay.
I know. My favorite Ruth Gordon, by the way, I want this on the record. Yeah. My favorite Ruth Gordon movie is Harold and Maude.
Yes.
To me, a timeless movie.
Wonderful.
If you haven't
movie.
Seen it, go find it. It's from the 70s. You'll love the music. It's great.
Yes, indeed. I love that movie, too. Okay. So getting back to the election here, Trump's declared a war on mail-in ballots, and that continues in earnest today. Uh-huh.
Yes.
He tweeted, there is no way, zero, that mail-in ballots will be anything less than substantially fraudulent. Mailboxes will be robbed, ballots will be forged, and even illegally printed out and fraudulently signed. Boy, he's got this all figured out, doesn't he? And, you know, when you hear a crook describe a series of crimes, I wonder if he knows that that's how it could work. Like, he's already gamed this out. He's already figured out, well, here's how we can rig all of this for ourselves. And I feel like that's what he's talking about here. This is how we're going to shave the corners off of this election by...
Behind the scenes, Republicans and Democrats are in court, or even if virtually, to argue about these mail-in ballots, mail-in voting, voting by mail. And there are big battlegrounds for this in key states, including Texas and Wisconsin. And what's decided in these cases and what's decided by those Republican legislatures will shape who gets to vote and who doesn't in the November election and which votes will be counted. But at the same time, and you and I know this from before, from 2016, when it appeared that Trump was going to lose to Hillary Clinton, out came the charges of voter fraud. When it became apparent that Trump was winning, he continued. He had to stick to that story. He had to double down on that story because he told that lie and he couldn't say he was wrong or that he'd lied. So he had to continue to stick with it. And then he had the pretend phony investigation that faded out for a lack of evidence. And now here we are again in 2020. And again, looking at the polls that we just discussed earlier, he knows he's going to lose as things stand now. He will do anything he can to hold on to power. And Republicans in states like Wisconsin and Texas will do anything they can to keep him in power. And we know to what lengths Republicans will go when it comes to voting. So very crucial. And he's setting the stage for an illegitimate election. He's saying votes by mail don't count. And that's how he's going to try to delegitimize the election when he loses. And, of course, that raises the office of how are we physically going to drag him out of there.
Yeah, good use of words. Delegitimize is exactly what he's trying to do. And, in fact, more specifically, he's trying to delegitimize any form of voting that can't that can't be hacked. He wants the vote to be able to be hacked just in case. I mean, I don't know. We
his daughter, Ivanka.
Ivanka
has a voting machine company that sells hackable machines.
And certainly for years now, we've been hearing about how Russia is going to ramp up its efforts. We've been hearing for years now about how Russia is inside, has infiltrated voting systems across the country in many different states. I think at least two dozen states, certainly in Florida. According to Bill Nelson, that you know, there have been Russians floating around in their infrastructure in certain counties for a long time now, just waiting, springing into action possibly this November. I just feel like everything is on such unstable ground right now.
And that's why it's so important that we keep our perspective and know that the goofuses out there are a minority and perhaps an extreme minority, that we keep our focus, that we keep our motivation. Look, I'm tired, you're tired, we're all tired of this. We're trudging through to November if we can make it that far, and then of course we have to deal with November through January until he can be physically dragged out of there, which is probably what's going to be necessary. It seems like it would have seemed like a bizarre conspiracy theory scenario at some point in our history, but certainly not now when you see all the other norms that have been upended by this administration.
Well, based on his physical behavior at Arlington National Cemetery yesterday, it may be really easy to drag him out of the White House. We're going to talk about that coming up on the Postmortem Show. Oh, my God, that clip of video was disturbing to look at, but not surprising at all. We're going to talk about Donald Trump's physical ailments coming up, his herky-jerky movements at Arlington yesterday. Plus, I think we're going to get into Trump versus Joe and Mika. There's some new developments on that front. Plus, Trump and something to do with online censorship. We'll talk about that, too, coming up on the Postmortem Show. That's on our Patreon page, patreon.com/Bob Seska Show, or more conveniently, BobSeskaShow.com. If you sign up for $5 a month, you'll get two Postmortem Shows every week. We just keep on talking after this music's done for about 15, 20 minutes. That's the Postmortem Show. If you sign up for $10 a month, you'll get the two Postmortem Shows plus the Friday After Party every week. And if you sign up at $15 a month, you get all that stuff. Two Postmortem Shows, the After Party on Friday, plus the ultimate edition of this podcast. That is commercial-free. I take out all the commercials, plus as we record at the Postmortem Show at the end. So an hour and a half of show right there. That is the ultimate edition of this program. Meanwhile, Buzz Burbank News and Comment is at buzzburbank.com and realmnetwork.com. Everywhere you get your podcasts. Every damn Thursday, it's the best hour of news you're going to get all week. Again, get that everywhere you get your podcasts. And, oh, geez, the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network, sexyliberal.com. Yes. And I think the Sexy Liberal Unity Tour is continuing virtually.
Cool.
So go to sexyliberal.com, also stephaniemiller.com to get more information about all of that fun stuff. And I think that is it.
So you're saying the president is a weeble because weevils wobble, but they won't fall down.
That's right. Somehow, Donald Trump has formed some sort of gravitational field around himself that he can lean forward at an awkward angle and not fall over. And
well, I'm sticking around for the postmortem show to hear more.
That sounded like a sincere endorsement. On that note, we will wrap up. Thank you so much for listening, and we will see you. Oh, yeah, by the way, Jen and Mike Farley on the Wednesday interview show. We've got more live music coming to you from two of my favorite indie recording artists. That'll be tomorrow, and then usual Thursday show, usual Friday show. Take care, folks. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
Please wear a mask.